we're going to play as well. So let's see. I'll give Bill a minute to get to the control board. And if he doesn't do that, then we'll just whip into our intro song for this hour. Okay, well, here we go.
Prepare for the expansion of the Android meme. Citizens of Earth, we will be more annoyed by our
Thank you, Lord Bob, for taking the task of teaching our sorry butts to ask. We gave away our power over taking it back, following the lead of the meaning of Slack.
It's time to pick up the pace of our ascension and catch up with Bob. Let's do this thing. Try to keep up.
Poppin' and droppin' and there ain't no stoppin'. We all praise Bob with our heads a-boppin'. Taking back the power that we gave away. Waking up the dormant DNA. Stay and play, yeah, that's our goal. Fastest path to joy, that's how we roll. Bob on the beach with a bag of Snickers. Think about getting them Doc Dean's Snickers. Ain't got a lover now, don't you, pal? Sit right down and rub one out. Relax and allow, that's our only job. Best way to do it is be like Bob, be like Bob.
Everybody wanna be like Bob. Get on earth, but he's a guest. Nobody knows how to act like Bob. Everybody wanna be like Bob. Everybody wanna be like Bob. Human creator, that's our job. We all gotta learn how from Bob. Everybody wanna be like Bob.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! You can't handle the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Here's the thing. We're not speaking to the entire world. We're only speaking to you all. And it comes and goes, and that's all right, and that's fine. We say to be a good steward over little things, and you can have larger things. But the whole wide world does not need saving. So, of course, it's not our job. Well, we couldn't if we wanted to. We didn't start the fire. But the world's been burning since the world's been turning. But we didn't start the fire. So therefore, we'll be available, we are available, we've always been available. Limitations in things that come from growth, like leg cramps when you're a kid, growing pains, they call it. Oh, they're so painful, and you have to go through it by yourself, and you have to get over it. But once you do, once captivity is released, then a euphoric bliss is replaced. We'll come and help every way we can. If we need to put a cool compress on your head, happily we will engage. But after a certain point, you gotta get on with it. You gotta get on with it. You gotta get on with it. We're not trying to show you our power. We can, but we're not here to show you our power. We are absolutely trying to bring you into your own. And once we do that, then there ain't enough angels in heaven or devils in hell to stop you now.
Brian?
Very good, everybody. Welcome, welcome. This is Pastor Ginny Almighty with the Sugary Vagina Walls. Yay!
Dun, dun, dun.
That's Bob cackling. Are you trying? trying to do a Ginny cackle.
Good. I'm doing Ginny. Ginny's doing it.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday show live here on Achieve Radio. And I am so grateful to be accompanied by my partner in crime, Mr. Gregory Sanders. Are you there, love?
I'm here. Let the bells ring out and the banners fly. I'm here.
And we're doing a quasi-official. You know, I can never tell how many more episodes of the Wednesday show we'll be doing. So who knows? We may just wrap it up on this one. We may keep going. Who knows? But I do know this. We are once again being encapsulated by all that is, which turns out to be Bob. Bob's all there is left. And Bob has 14 hours, 54 minutes, and 10 seconds before he sashays on to the Eben Ray stages and completes his most amazing radio marathon ever, handily breaking Art Bell's record and everybody else, and nobody else would ever dare to attempt anything like this ever again. And so we say, welcome, Bob!
Oh, it's a pleasure to have the treasury of your wisdom and to be part of this phenomenal show that's honored I and them for years, I think. You've been on for years, right?
And That's right.
Grown to be a huge establishment, institution, well-respected in all the annals of I and Don's various departments. But I still can't get over how amazing I am, even though you've achieved these amazing heights.
I'm flabbergasted every day.
Oh,
I know. Yes. I have set an amazing example, and yes, it's amazing. I still show up here at this dimension as often as I do.
Yes, Bob. It is really actually quite amazing, and you know, we on the Wednesday show always trying to interview guests and capture and chronicle the happenings of I and Them and reflect on the past and all these other things, that we have you today is quite a coup, because you are the most sought after radio personality in 3700 world. So I'm very glad that you're here. And also, you know, usually what we've had to do in the past is we mean Greg and myself and even Bart and other people who've joined us on the show have had to resort to playing old clips and coming up with old ways to say the same thing, but fortunately Ion has been here, and so I've clipped out a bunch of stuff that Ion's been saying the last couple days, and I thought we'd review it and see what you think about it.
Okay, great. I'll be here. I'll try to stay awake.
All right, now, I do have a question for you before we get started. Bob, what do you think, or what do you know about Reverend Stang's response to your whole endeavor here?
I've been banned from their website, from their chat group. It used to be all Slack, and then it got taken over by Nazis, neo-Nazis, and insects and everything. So the friendlier people to the Church Sub Genius is run by Stang, retreated to alt.scrubgenius. They left alt.slack and went to alt.scrubgenius, and you have to be admitted and accepted. So I don't see Stang's talk about me at all. Hasn't been for three or four years. But I did see back there when Ion first surfaced, someone informed him, or he's been stalking me for years, so he must have checked us out, and he said we had a ridiculous Ion, some Ion that was very moral, and some crackpot stuff called RNA drops. That was the last statement I saw by him, let's say 3 years ago, which meant that he was aware that this new reality had entered Carol and my situation. But I do not know what he says to people and has been saying the last 3 years. I don't know what he says.
And so we don't know if anybody is aware. I mean, the infiltrator, somebody must have told Reverend Stang in that group, and I'm referring to the Church of the Subgenies people, that you've been on this huge marathon that is, I mean, breaking every record and doing amazing things.
Someone's told them why you saw this?
No, I'm asking you, has anybody, you don't know that anybody's told them, because I think somebody needs to tell them.
Yes, no, I don't tell them, because they'll just come in here, and we'd get a whole bunch of calls, with people playing loud music. You know what I mean? They'd purposely destroy the phone conference call situation.
The beautiful atmosphere that we've created. That's right.
Right. When they do hear of me being interviewed in other radio stations, they will attack the radio station. They will accuse them of fraud and harass them all the way over to London. They will bother the stations who don't even know much about the Church of Genius. They just know about me. And then all of a sudden they get harassed through these savvy hackers. A lot of them are computer savvy people. And then it turns out a big fiasco, and then I get a lot of attention, and then we do the interview, and they disappear, and they don't know what happened to the stations. They don't understand why this outrage about me has come in. So it's been hilarious, but I don't like it happening around something I want to be relatively pure of their presence. So I didn't tell them what we were doing, and it worked. They haven't, they never showed up. And but I will be making them know of what I achieve tomorrow. See, I always post everything we do on alt.slack and whatever else I can do. There are various other sites that I can go. So I'll be bragging tomorrow.
So they'll be in the tidal wave, the riptide of the entire tsunami effect of what is being created here.
Yes, of my hacking skills and my team of hackers, they will regret the fact they ever insulted me.
Very good. Awesome.
Yeah, excellent, Bob.
Now, the other thing, let's talk, we'd like to reflect on a few things while we can, one of which is I heard Carolyn say that she watched you for 10 days prepare for the show and go to different places and have files sent out, the evergreen stuff to be digitized and things. As you were in your huge whirlwind of creativity, what were you anticipating this 122-plus hours would be like? Is there anything that hasn't occurred yet that you wanted to accomplish?
What I did is I have 64, at least 64 hours of sessions with the Evergreens from 1980 to 2004, and I thought this would be an opportunity to dump them into one place, you know, make a mini archive and rehear them again, but it required about five cassettes had to be turned into digital CDs, and so I had to go to a place, find a place. So that was the only extra thing I did, and I scanned through my notes and took several weeks to, a little bit every day, to organize them. I wanted people to hear the JFK, the many hours I did on the JFK assassination with the Evergreens, the many hours of talking to McLuhan, the many topics, and also the general drift of the beginning of the universe, the early cultures, or how man was altered by the Bootians, who came from the Bootes constellation. Then a whole hour and a half on Atlantis, Lemuria, an hour and a half on Egypt and China, early dynasties. And I worked myself up to the, matter of fact, I'm thinking right now I didn't do the time of Christ, which I'll have to do later today. And then I did a lot of modern stuff. So I just wanted to provide a good sampling of my Evergreen situation. And my policy statement is these are the opinions or the view of entities, which are the content of the guff. Entities, mm-hmm. Spirit, souls. Whereas Ion is another level. We are hearing the voice of the structure of the guff, not the content. And that's why Ion is not a group of entities.
Very good. And Greg, what have your been impressions? I mean, I know you've shared them as we go, but for the record, for the Wednesday show record, what have your impressions been of what Bob shared of the Evergreens material?
Well, I was just thinking here of a way to just elaborate a little bit on what Bob said of the difference between the Evergreens and Ion. And let's imagine we go back to the concept of reincarnation, that the Evergreens could access the mind of everybody who had ever existed. So Evergreens could access what people had consciously known in their entire life. So that kind of thing of dates, of historical events, all of that was readily available to the Evergreens. Whereas, crude description, but best I've got, Ion can access everything that everyone has ever experienced, contemplated, and in the depths of a non-physical point of view figured out that wasn't in their conscious mind. So Ion can access everything, all unrealized creations of individuals also, if that makes any sense.
And so having heard the evergreens in this, what do you... It does make sense, but I mean, I'm asking you, as you heard this evergreens material unfold and having your experience with the Ion, what did you notice about this evergreen stuff this time? Like, go ahead.
Well, Bob did play many things that I'd never heard before, but after, you know, probably listening to at least a couple of hundred sessions, public, private, and other people's, again, it just brought back real rich memories because we, in those days, hung on to the Evergreen's word as we hang on to Ion's word present day. It was just a good feeling of reminiscing of how it was like. And at the time, as Bob has said many times, it was the best we had. You know, it was the very best. I never asked the questions that Bob asked on conspiracy and who did this and who was the screwer and the screwee and how did this work out. I was more into the philosophy, the psychism, the spirituality of the time. So it was just a great difference to see how sequentially history had gone through all these different changes and who did what to who. So that was the big difference for me.
Okay. And Bob, what kind of occurred to you as you were listening? I mean, I know you said you could see now why you had a great foundation in question asking that Ion wanted to complete and chose you. What other observations did you have?
Well, Ion has returned after a 2-year absence for public presentations, and he doesn't act like he does has acted this week. He showed up, what, 4 times? During
5 days,
and
was it
the second, 23rd and the 24th. I think it's the fourth day.
4 days and maybe 6 times.
Oh, yes, he came twice. And he has this new public presentation of himself. He doesn't do this when we're working with Ion in our projects privately, but he has this sing-song dancey thing, and he says the cliche, says the many of the familiar lines he said for 2 years ago, and he does it in a sing-songy, bouncy, rhythmic, playful, jazzy way, and that's new, and that's interesting, and it just makes me think about how slow the Evergreen's voice is. The Evergreens are profound and clear and probably the most astounding entities that ever are communicating, but they are of a slower rhythm, slower time in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Makes me aware of how fast we are today and how Ion is the modern expression of the pace of our lives today. He keeps up with it. And it's a different rhythm and also a different irony about speech. Ion is very satirical about the speech act itself. I don't recall much satirical speech acting by the Evergreens.
Yeah, I think that when we were on Saturday night and Greg tried to read off an Evergreen statement, and it was like he was walking through cement, and I was watching him as he was reading it, and his head was kind of hanging, and he was kind of, you know, slogging through it, and even stopped, because it was just like, this is a perfect example of how dense we were, how many, I think he said concepts we had, something to that effect, I'm paraphrasing. And the Evergreens did seem, you know, a lot slower. Ion is very fast.
Yes. Ion doesn't even need speech. And for those who don't know what Ion can do, Ion seems flippant and ridiculous, if sometimes profound. But Ion doesn't need to use speech at all and communicates people through people's cell phones and communicates through the products we make. I'm sure Ion in some way is doing something in the factory where we make the RNA drops, because each new generation it's more potent or more something. So Ion is a massage of the whole planet. And when Ion says, when we say he, but we mean a group or something, when they say that the global envelope of warming, whatever that is. I don't know if it's the ozone layer or the layer of carbon dioxide, whatever, that the RNA drops have punctured that and consume it, and that's not there anymore. When I realize, okay, that may sound preposterous, but when you realize the power of the substance that of the ascended condition that ion represents or comes through, then it could change everything in the matter of our planet here, because it's that more powerful. We live in a fragile little subset of molecular handicappedness here compared to the ion energy, and that therefore our RNA drops could wreak the amazing effects that ion says it is doing are unbelievable to those who have no familiarity to the actual products in the environment where the drops are made. If they're just listening to ionic statements, I can see a lot of confusion. Until they get, you know, aware that a lot is said, if they take the time to listen to the Revelation series, then they can be impressed with what ion can do verbally and the amount of meaning and pattern recognition ion projects. But the way he's been on my show the last 5 days, or my statement, is it a show? Yes, I guess it is. I think it would be an odd phenomenon for most strangers. They don't know why this flippin' sing-songy voice is acting this way. In other words, like you guys, we're a huge institution, Iondom is, and Ion is, and you have to almost be initiated and introduced to our structure.
That was a brilliant statement, and that should the first 80% of what you just said needs to be transcribed. That was a brilliant summary.
And memorized.
I really like the part.
And memorized.
Note tattooed onto your arm. There you go.
Yes, and sent to the White House every other day by millions of people.
Petition your congressman. We need their attention. That's right. There you go. No, very good. I mean, what you say is the sense of the power that ion brings to the table. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The big deal breaker for me, which I thought was sacrosanct, was how many people have you raised from the dead?
Yes. That's a daily activity.
Yeah, that statement took my breath away, because that was the big game changer. I went, right, there is nothing sacred. Everything is open. So to even say it's the greatest power is kind of an insult. But
that's right. But it is original. I don't know if any sage or...
But it's original, that's right.
Yeah, no, any sage or source of verbal statement of power that ever demanded people, or sort of, yeah, demand of them, how many people have you raised from the dead today? I've never heard of that before.
Nope. Big game changer. And I mean, to the people who are listening, what that means is, you know, people who want to check out, you actually can intervene.
Yeah. We've seen it with our clients. Some of our clients have done this.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Very good. Okay, now, and I think that's one thing, what you said, Bob, about the initiation thing. Ion somewhat alluded to that, because this morning I have gone back through and listened to the things that Ion has said.
I'll hang up too.
Sorry about that, Bob. The phone dropped off. Anyway, one of the things that as I was going through the clips was that when Carolyn started out by saying, you know, we ask people not to take up a bunch of time by asking the same personal questions that they've asked over and over again. Because if they didn't do the first time, you know, they're probably not going to do it now type of a thing. And Ion said, yes, that's okay. But then they're the new people. They have to get used to plugging in. You know, they need to have an opportunity to kind of get their engines warmed, because if you just take a cold engine and get in it and start driving the car, you know, it might be a little bit too much. So even Ion's acknowledging that people who haven't been in relationship with them or, you know, done the sessions need to have a little get up and go time to get up and go.
So, Ginny, I'm back in. The lines went dead. Do you know what happened?
Yeah, I think the lines went dead for all of us because we were out, too. So
okay.
You're back in, and I'm back.
All right.
Nothing was missed.
Very good.
Okay.
So let's carry on.
So we're carrying on. So now I want to just make the announcement that you are listening to the Wednesday show here live on Achieve Radio. This is part of the Bob Fest that has been going on as we've been acknowledging the Bob Fest countdown calendar. And for those who are not clear, Bob has 14 hours, 34 minutes, and 3 seconds of his own volition to appear squarely and handsomely at the Evan Ray broadcast on KPFK this morning at 2 a.m. Thanksgiving Day, or 5 a.m. if you're on the East Coast, 4 p.m. Central Time in other parts of the world. You'll have to figure that out for yourself. And he will be chitty-chatting with Evan as a way of landing in Los Angeles. I am Los Angeles, one of Bob's favorite things to say.
No. Let me be Los Angeles. That's a line in Finnegan's Wake.
Let me be Los Angeles. So he will be Los Angeles.
Yeah, Ginny, do you know how many hours I'm going to have done? Has anybody added it up?
I think we added it up and it was 100, and well, you'll get to 130 hours when you do Evan's show. It'll be 131 when you complete Evan's show, because I'm assuming you'll be on for just 1 hour.
An hour and a half, so 131.
Oh.
30. No, she All used right. to be a 2-hour show, but now she's 90 minutes, so it'll be 131 and a half. And we were on a half hour before the show, before the whole thing started, because the station got blown up by Ion, and that's not strange. Ion had to adjust the structure of the station. It was the network card, Bill says, was had to be re-exercised, and Ion probably shifted into some dimension to handle the incredible effects, because one thing we saw was that people were getting incredible enjoyment out of the show for some apparent reason, and it just kept building up, and then you see it in the commentary page. So I think the energies were pretty interesting, and I am protected. But we were knocked out the first hour, or like before the first hour started. And then we get on about a half hour into the first hour once it got started. So you add that half hour to the rest, it'll be 132 hours, I think.
Bob, if you go till 9 o'clock Thursday morning our time.
No, it won't be 9 o'clock, honey. It'll be 6:30 a.m.
I'm just saying 9 o'clock our time. What would that be in Bob's time?
We're 5 hours behind you.
So 4 o'clock your time, it'll be 132 hours, I believe.
At 4 o'clock. Right.
Correct.
And, we're only going to go, so we will be 131 and a half hours.
Yeah. Very good.
Of course,
good.
I will cheat. I will cheat and say it was 144, and nobody will bother checking, and they'll believe me.
Exactly. And we'll support
Perfect.
You on that completely.
Perfect.
Yes.
Well, actually, Bob, if you included parallel worlds and adjustments for the no time factor, it probably is 144 hours. So
yes. I've probably been going, for several years, because when you go into parallel worlds, it's a different system, and I checked
That's
out
right.
many
what's
times.
What's little man timing? Exactly. Screw the little man timing. We live in a multidimensional
Basically,
world.
We could say Bob never came back.
Right. And it could be argued he never left.
That's right.
He faked his leaving, and he already left years ago.
That's right. Now, I see, and I am very thrilled that my dear friend Sasha, who I have great respect and admiration for, is finally listening to the show today, only because, of course, Bob is on today. And so I'd like to see if Sasha has something she'd like to share or say. Hit *5 on your keypad, Sasha. She might be working, so I don't want to impose on her. But if you want to come in and join us for the party or anybody else, just hit *5, and you are welcome to engage Bob during this time. It's not like we have exclusive domination over him, but in the lack of other things, I'll keep going. And And I wanted to ask you too, Bob, what new impressions do you have of your beautiful bride in this wonderful timing?
Well, what I often say, and it's undeniable, over the past two years, since she's been on the drops, 3 years, is that I usually tuck her to bed around 10 to 10:30, quarter 11, sometime in there. And as she lies in bed and I talk to her, I'm above her, it's incredible. She's gotten younger and younger and prettier and like a daughter. I see this little face beaming at me during at night up to me like a daughter, a pretty daughter, and it just gets younger and younger. Now, when she's walking around and almost my height, she seems inordinately happy this past year or so. As a matter of fact, I consider her a space cadet now, because she's always beamed, like she didn't beam like this before. There was a sort of a layer of thought going on. There's no goddamn thinking coming out of that face anymore. There's just this beaming face, and she doesn't, it's almost like she doesn't see me. You know, it's almost like a space cadet, but it's not a space cadet. There's still some consciousness blinking there. But she has become so happy in her fulfilled state of being the last couple of years with the RNA drops and everything. She's totally in her power with medicine. She is the queen of medicine with the whole fucking planet, and there's no doubt about that. And she has a very healthy balance about that. So I see all that in her face over the last couple of years. In other words, whatever, and that she's got 144,000 double helix strands, and I can see it in her being. She already was all pretty, very handsome and pretty and all that stuff, but something extra is around her. I can see that.
I'm just a reflection of you, Bob.
Yeah, so that was part of the unreality. She's become kind of unreal to me, and then therefore it is just a reflection of me fantasizing my own world. And I've just figured out how to make a better world because I've become more perfect. Made her more perfect.
Perfect. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of perfect, we'll check with the Inquix. Gran from Massachusetts just says, Ginny, is this Bob number 6 or Bob number 2? Who is my guest right now? I don't know. I think we decided there's only one Bob, right?
There is only one Bob. I'm not going to fragment like that weakling JW. You can't hold his act together, and he's got split up by the power of Ion, and it's 144,000. I'm the strongest person alive, and I do not break into other people, other factors. I can be many different kinds of personalities during a course of 24 hours, but I don't have to have a body assigned for each emotional temperament.
Very good, Bob. Those are nice words. I like that.
Yeah.
I think that sounds like a healthy perspective. All right, very good.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, and now I want to go through really quickly. I'm looking at the Purple Transmission website, and I want to just go through a really quick walk from memory lane with you, especially for people who are just tuning in, and it turns out we have people who are just turning in for the first time and hearing about this amazing Bob Fest, the Woodstock or Altamont for Ascending Human Beings, and starting Friday night, Bob, which you may vaguely remember, we did the Relight Winners, and then we went into having Eben come on, Eben's first appearance, Michael Brown came through, and I think that was the first time we heard from Ion. Then Katie Thomas came in and did that great session with you on McLuhan. Then you had Youngblood come
that
in.
That was all on Saturday, the 23rd. I know
That's
Michael
right.
Brown came in the 23rd, and Ion came in the 23rd. So you're talking about Saturday now?
Saturday now, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And then Katie Thomas came in.
Yep.
And then Youngblood came in and brought his friend with him. What was his name?
He was a comedian. Yes, I don't remember his name. I did not know him. He was a new person, so I have not.
Brilliant.
I don't remember. Say
was it Bo?
Bo. He was Bo something.
Yeah, Bo.
Bo.
And then Greg and I came and wrapped up the evening with you that night. And then on Sunday, you had Anne Violette, who wrote Matthew's book.
Yeah.
And then you had Sheila come in, and I think Allison. And all, that's when it kind of turned into a mosh pit.
Yes. That's when it got out of control, and I don't know who. I don't know, was Neufeld there or somebody?
Yes.
Neufeld came in. And Neufeld never stopped interfering for the next 3 days, and if he couldn't, I had to kick him off the sound part of the situation. He just typed up a storm for 3 days in the chat line, which was pretty entertaining, and he got a lot of other creativity. So he actually played a key almost like my Doug Ford. I'm Rob Ford, and he was Doug Ford, and he was there handling the Hell's Angels part of Dobbstown there on the chat room.
Okay, now I'm noticing something really unique, Bob, and I'm wondering if you had anything to do with this. I noticed that on Saturday, November 23rd, your first guest of the day was Hillary Ramos.
Yes.
But she's actually been taken off the website.
Well, what? I mean, on the Purple Transmission listing of guests? I had no say in that. That's run by Matthew, and maybe she asked to be taken off. She was sort of conflicted about the whole experience. But I am scheduled to be on her network, on her show, the end of January. That was the soonest she could book me in. But I don't know. I don't know why she's off there.
We'll see if that happens.
If what happens, me being on her show.
Yeah.
Well, she's into the Voynich manuscript, and there was a nice synchronicity that she went to Yale earlier last week. And the same day I was thinking about it last Tuesday, she was touching it. And it just popped in my mind. I said, I got to find out what Ian said about that. Then she was really interested and found out about it on Saturday. So I made an effort the next couple of days to find out where it was. And Ginny said she was going to. I told you I found it, right, Ginny? So you didn't get around to doing it. Or you did do it and you came up with the same results as me. It's March 9th, 2010. Show or 2011, I don't know, what is that, 2010? That might be 2011. So I told her she wanted to hear what Ian or whatever we had, and I told her that I have it. So that's the reason she will tolerate me being on her show, is that she wants to hear what Ian said about it, about the Voynich manuscript. So she will tolerate, or what? Who knows really what her motives are.
Okay, very good. And then I interrupted you. We talked about Dave Neufeld. We had the whole mosh pit. And I think Lynn Fouch was supposed to come in, but maybe she didn't get a chance to do her thing with you. Was that what I heard? Because we weren't there for that.
She came in.
With Lorraine.
With Lorraine. Oh, no, we did a whole thing with Lorraine.
Okay.
We did Lorraine actually held court for a long time, talking about how she had her peak experience in 1992 and then 1996. No, she actually, we have an exclusive, top Olympic coach. This is the great variety of this archive that we've created. You know, all the way from the inanities of Love Job, up to this accomplished Olympic coach who has a national forest. No, it's a river. We got
a
town or something.
No, it's wood. It's a land. It's a park.
A park named after her. But she told her very moving story based on her book and her newer book, I think she's working on.
On the Wings of Mercury is her book.
Yeah, so basically Lynn Fouch, her friend, was not. She wasn't part of the content. It was more about Lorraine, right, in retrospect?
Correct. And the Lynn segment, her timing was pushed off a couple of hours. Did the Renner sisters bump Lynn, or something bumped Lynn?
Yeah.
For hours, maybe it was the girls, and Matthew got bumped too. But then Lynn had misnoted her timing, which she never does. So she was late by a couple of hours.
But Lynn was on all the time, so Lynn wasn't, something you would focus on. She was part of every day, talking, interacting with us for many hours. So she didn't require a special day.
Right. It's just, I think what Ginny is looking at, though, is the Purple Transmission, that if people even look on the archives for the timing that Lynn was supposed to be, she didn't come on for a couple hours, and then she didn't talk. Lorraine, we got the story from Lorraine, but then it was the next day that Lynn and I had a long conversation.
Right. Right.
Oh, okay, very good. Because, yes, then that Sunday evening, those dynamic ancestors came in, and we had the one gal who kind of came in, and Bob, you said she could stay until the main act showed up, and then here come the Renner sisters, right?
Yes, R-E-N-N-E-R, and that's the three other sisters. There's four girls or ladies in the Renner family, and we know Germaine, the oldest. She was our fashion correspondent and is also responsible for many connections into Hollywood. They happened through Renner's, through Germaine's circle of friends that many people found out about Ion and engaged with it, and it's influenced their productions. But she brought on two of her sisters. The youngest sister couldn't make it, and there's one, the fifth sister is living in Costa Rica. And they came back the next night, or two nights later, which was might have been two nights ago. And then Nadia came in alone to get to talk to Ion last night. And then she and Germaine called last night. Was it Germaine? Yeah, I think Germaine was there. So basically I've had about four conversations with them, you know, over the last 3 days. They've been part of the show. They've been in and out.
Very good. Then you had Vinny show up from New Zealand, right?
Yes. And Vinny... very quickly, I saw they had a million rules every sentence, so I wasn't that excited about engage with them, but Dave Neufeld came in and engaged with Vinny and carried the ball for a couple hours, and Rob of Tottenham came in, so I just took a back seat. I was not interested in discussing much with this young mind that's, you know, is quadriphenic and doesn't know it, and is not interested in finding out.
Okay, very good. And then you kind of launched into quite a few evergreen recessions and into the following day, which was Monday. A lot of evergreen stuff, all kinds of different information, including Chernobyl and, oh, my gosh, on and on and on. And then we went into Carolyn's house show.
Yes.
Yeah, you
and
ended
I
up
kept
with
quiet. I kept quiet during the health show. I don't think I said much.
Yes, you were kind of quiet, Bob.
How did you end up with some guests, Bob, that didn't know anything about the drops? How did they get into the mix there?
Matthew found people. I think he wanted to stack the Purple Transmission announcement website just to have other people coming in to look like it. There were people who even cared about me. And he picked a lot of friends and acquaintances, but they had no clue about what they came in and were quite upset by my reactions. And I called Matthew and said, how are these people, are they getting, sending, you know, responding later and complaining to you what happened? He said, yes, they are. I'm getting complaining emails from them. But he was indifferent because he said, look, the website said this would be the Woodstock and Altamont of
right.
of reality. And he said those ones that couldn't take it, he just considered they got Altamonted. So he was quite indifferent to the irritation that some of them experienced. And basically, the strangers got Altamonted, and my colleagues or my cult members and, you know, people that know me and been part of Iondom, they came in and had the most fun of their lifetime. It's amazing, like the ecstasy and enthusiasm that was happening. And I did do a pretty good performance this morning, jamming with Greg and other people, and the fans were just going crazy on the commentary. It was pretty neat.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
Yep. Absolutely. Now, and we have had. Also, I just want to go back and finish, because then on that Monday evening is when Evan came in and talked to you about the evergreens. You guys did the evergreen sessions, and also Hoover, Hoffa, ML King, and RFK. So there was some interesting content that came out there. And Evan had a great reaction to that.
Well, what happened is Evan was supposed to come, and she came, but, you know, on a Saturday night or something, and we were so into doing other stuff, so she came late, and because she was on the schedule that day, I couldn't really get into what I wanted to do with her, which was I was saving all my many hours of interviewing the Evergreens about what happened actually happened in the JFK assassination, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, that I put it off a couple of days till Evan came back in. It might have been Monday or Tuesday, where she had many hours. We went well into the early morning, and I played a lot for her because I wanted her reaction, because she's pretty well versed in all the stuff, having interviewed people since 2000 on these kind of topics. And she was suitably impressed by what she was hearing. And so I eventually caught up with my goal, was to play a lot of JFK stuff. But I had to wait for Evan, but she showed up later, and we got it done. And then she came up with a great great idea. I think she noticed, hey, you'll be ending Thursday, sometime Thursday morning. Why not end my show, which is a perfect situation where we migrate our environment into a major station in the L.A. area. And I'll be able to gloat to the city and those who are listening about what a marvelous person I am in doing this 144 or 300-hour fucking thing, you know? And there was a lot of fucking going on, I tell you. What did I say? I sent an email just before with my advertising savvy. I said, I intend to fuck anything that moves for the next 5 or 6 days. And I capitalized fuck, and that certainly brought in thousands of entities from parallel worlds and everything looking to fuck with me, and I mean it. I mean fucking with all my bodies, and that is what happened. Much fucking was going on. Not just chemical body.
That's right. Sex sells even in parallel worlds. That's right.
Right.
Very good.
Right.
Now, Ben, we're kind of caught up, and then, of course, we've had more evergreens and fun. And then the other funny part was when you said no more guests. You're like, that's it, no more guests. So moved out of the guest mode and moved into Bob Flow mode.
Yeah, now what I've done, and we got into more work mode, and I did an incredible 2 or 3 hour explanatory lecture about whatever themes I was coming up with, prompted by my enthusiastic dialogue with Katie Thomas, who suddenly read the McLuhan book, and then her life was changed. And then the discussion about that changed other people. So there's a very good sample of what the Dobbstown or I&M University academic kind of university would be like. And what else? I did something. Oh, yeah, and then I featured a dialogue I'm very proud of, me and Ike Willis, the main co-musician of Zappa's bands for 10 years in the late 70s and the late 80s, Ike Willis, and I was able to explain a key part of Frank Zappa's conceptual continuity and his theoretical framework and perceptual structure, and make the daily experience of Ike have whole new meaning by reading him a couple of documents created by Zappa that Ike was not aware of. So I'm very happy to broadcast that and have that in the archive. And I also was very happy to feature the clear version of my finding out how AIDS was created in September 1988, when we released it as a press conference item on cassette in September 1989, we distorted it. Dave Neufeld distorted it through his early computer, you know, Sinclavier sample situation to protect Michael Blake Reed. But now that he's passed on, I felt I could play the clear evergreen, amazing evergreen statement about the creation of AIDS. And so for the first time in history or novelty or sociology or anthropology or the big now spliced into moments, we heard the clear version that I heard on September 13th, 1988. And that's in there somewhere. It's like, what, was that done about 2 days ago or yesterday?
That was yesterday, Bob. That was yesterday.
I think that's all going to be on Akito's itinerary, right? You'll know and be able to hear these different parts without having to wade through the 3,000 hours, right?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes, our dear friend Akito has put together the guide to the Bob Fest. It's being featured at ionandbob.blogspot.com. And, yes, he's laid it all out there.
Yep, so. Total dummy's guide to the Bob Fest.
Yeah.
It cannot be messed up.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. Is it dummy? It's smarties. Bob for Smarties is what we presented.
Bob, I mean, for Smarties, you, yes. No dummies.
Yeah, because usually I have to put up with Ion's insults. Ion is such a jealous being, or whatever it is, and he'll take any opportunity to make me seem like an idiot, and he did it again today. And for once, I was able to create an environment where I could present my astounding intelligence and what I've done through the decades, and it put me to where I am. But even Ion couldn't let that go, and he showed up. He hasn't been around for 2 years publicly, and he showed up and surprised the hell out of everybody and delighted them, but he certainly made a point of insulting me every 3 minutes while he was on these 5 or 6 times, right?
Well, so, you probably started it.
Well, I knew he was going to do it, so I jumped in. I took a few swipes at him before he even got in the ring and dumped some water on him. But the point is, it's not Bob Dummies. What is it, Bob for Dummies? Dummies for Bob?
Bob for Dummies.
Bob for Dummies. It's Bob for Smarties. Because there's a lot of smart information there, you dumb fucking idiots that are listening to this show, and fucking get your act together and start paying attention to me and learning my methodologies.
Exactly.
How about Bob for Brains?
No, for Smarties. And it can mean smart ass or cute or smart, smartly dressed.
Yeah.
For the smartly dressed, you know, okay. Smarties is a better word.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
What I was saying was what Akito put together was so well done that the cataloging of it is for dummies. It's very easy to follow. That's what I was saying. It wasn't something convoluted.
Oh, right, right. Oh, okay, all right, great.
Straight up. Really well, I mean, clear, obvious. Here's what he said. This is when he said it. Next. That kind
right,
of
and you're a borderline case yourself, so you're the one who would know.
I need that kind of stuff, absolutely. Being
that's
dyslexic,
right.
Got STP and VFWE.
Now, you have made the same faux pas. You apparently split into at least one other person who's flying up to New York and other routes or Toronto, and so you've got the same problem as JW. You couldn't hold together, and you now have 2 or 3 of yourselves flying around, right?
Yes, and it's such a wonderful out, because Virginia can say, well, we spoke about this the other day, and you agreed to do that, and we were sitting here, and here was the time, and I went, okay, no memory of it whatsoever. It sounds good, it feels right, but I have no memory of it, so it's nice that I can nap.
Well, that's another factor. I noticed that JW is too stupid to appreciate that he's gotten 8 other versions of himself, and you're sounding right now a little stupid about the very phenomenon that you've unwittingly created. So I am not impressed with the way you guys are handling the new era, the new being, and what Carolyn brought in.
No, no, I'm telling you how much I appreciate being able to have multiple Gregs going around, because in the off chance that, you know, your friend is talking to you and explaining something to you, and then 3 days later you go, oh, I don't remember and I wasn't listening, the perfect out is to say, oh, that wasn't this Greg.
Well, that's the talk of a lazy man. I never want to have the perfect out. I want to be with everybody, pay attention. I'm known. Ina does admit that I will talk to anybody for endless times, help them get a point that took 10,000 hours to get to, and then immediately change the point. But I do stick with people. I'm on duty. You don't sound like you're always on duty.
No, I pay attention to everything Virginia says, but I'm telling you, it does happen. Even when I pay attention to her, she comes into the office, I literally stop doing what I'm on the computer, I give her my full attention, and even with that, there's Greg she's talking to that I don't have
Greg,
picked up yet.
Greg, I think Bob is on to us. We made a pact. We were going to be the least impressive Ionettes there are.
Okay.
We were going to continually make all kinds of faux pas, bad gestures, incorrect statements.
Lousy radio show. Be the worst
radio
show.
Shows. We were going to have the worst relationship and be the most horrific representations of Iondom and the Bob knowledge ever.
And you achieved your goal. I'm happy to announce.
On to us. And I,
yes, yes.
Don't, you know, I mean, we got to... He's on to us, Greg.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, well.
I'll tell you, though, Jenny's
game's
very
up.
Good bullshitter. She had a bullshitting professionist pastor and his landmark coaching, life coach, and she's a perfect bullshitter to keep up with Carolyn on Monday. No one can do what Carolyn requires, a fellow bullshitter, and who are we talking about? What's her name?
Virginia.
And Jenny is... Yeah, Allison. So Allison is, because Jeannie Allison is a good singer, she has an instant ability to hear hear words and then they stick in her mind, she can spew them back really fast. So any new concepts that Carolyn has come up with, Ginny is the perfect mind to co-create and parrot it back. So I fully recognize your talents for being a co-host with Carolyn. It's just that we're talking about the disservices of it now, you know, of your talent. The tragic flaw of your talent.
Well, Greg and I are desperately holding on to our tragic flaws. We do not want to be known for anything or impress anyone, especially around here. We just want.
Well, I want to assure you, you don't have to work too hard. You are not impressing anybody. Other than beside Carolyn, you do impress people beside Carolyn on Mondays. Let's play Here Comes Bob, because we have a whole song where I'm complaining about that yay and asking you not to do it in 2014.
I don't know who's got that clip.
Oh, I have the clip, but let me see. I can bring that. Keep talking. I'll see if I can find it while we're talking.
Okay. Bob. Now, the thing of it is we've gotten up to date on what we've done, but the one thing that we haven't really talked too much about is, or what you've
I'll
done.
I'll only
Bob.
Do this for a minute. I'll just do this for a minute. It's not going to be the whole song.
You're welcome. Yay!
I suggest in 2014 you stop saying, yee! It's silly, Ginny. It's not congenial or conducive.
No. I endorse yay.
You waltz right in the door, just like you've done before, and wrap my heart round your little finger.
You know, Matt's usually coming?
No.
Ginny? Carolyn, do you think that it's...
Don't step on my geek.
Okay.
Yay! You are a talented editor.
Oh, dear.
Ginny, you are a talented editor. I love that song. It's a great song. It's perfect, and you edited it, and you made that, right? You did that.
No, I didn't. We've had this conversation before.
Oh, I may be a smarty, but sometimes I do lose my memory, don't I? But somebody, whoever did it, I love it.
She's who did it?
I think it might be Bart. I'm not sure who did that. It just
maybe Matthew.
I think maybe Matthew did. Somebody did.
Well, we know it wasn't Lynn Fouch or Lorraine. They're too busy running in the woods, so we can work. Could it have been Brian? No. No, I think it was you, Ginny. But the point is, it's a great thing, and I like it, and it's very funny. And I mean what I say on there.
I know you do.
And so do I.
You? You come to my... Oh, yeah, you're saying the opposite view. That's right.
I mean what I say.
Yeah, you have a...
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, you have Bob and Carolyn dancing on each other's toes right there in that song. It's very nice.
Yay! Now, the thing I don't know is a couple questions before we go into the next hour, because we're almost at the top of the hour. We're going to play some music. And but did Matthew ever get to play his new song on the air with you, Bob?
Not together, but we have played all his 3 or 4 or 5 songs. At
I don't know if we have not heard the newest one. I'd love to hear it if you have it.
Yeah, I have
I
not
do.
Heard the newest.
Hey.
Okay. Matthew sent it to me the other night when he was scheduled to appear, and then kind of got washed out with the Ike Willis interview kind of thing.
Yes.
And
yes, as a matter of fact, he called in on his. He got bumped off earlier. Then we arranged for him to come in the next day, and I told him that I'm going to do this Ike Willis, and I think that he should listen to it, and he agreed to it. So he ended up being a passive consumer in his slot. And we didn't talk to him. We have forced him to listen to Ike and Frank, and that was worth it. Which reminds me, we had Sky Goddess Sue's son in there Saturday night, Brendan.
Oh, that's right. Very
and people
important.
Have to. I've always been right inside the heart of the media, and that synchronicity over the last 30 years I called xenochrony, the strange synchronicity, a term that Zappa came up with. And we showed the xenochrony of the face that the whole world has seen for a couple of weeks now. We brought it up with Barbara Peters, and she didn't know who we were talking about. And then she suddenly goes, oh, the fat guy. Everybody knows the fat guy from Toronto, the mayor of Toronto. Well, here's our colleague, Brendan, you know, a fine member of Club 22, and his mother is one of the oldest members of Club 22. He was, during my my whatever I did, this sleep fast, he was offered the chief of staff of Rob Ford's office, you know, a few days ago. And he turned it down to get better gigs. But we were in the heart of the stone. Our people were there reporting to us. And then we actually have Brendan tell three interesting anecdotes of the kind of thing you have a relationship with somebody, and certain experiences will haunt your memory forever. They can be good memories, but they're part of your memory of the person. And he laid out three amazing stories of intimate interactions with Rob that will never leave his memory. So we had a huge exclusive to the center of the Android meme this past week.
Yes, we certainly did. Yes, that is very good. I'm glad you remembered that. Yes, of course. He was great.
Yes.
Yep. Gotta have it. Okay, now, Bob, what we're going to do is we're at the top of the hour. So we're going to play Matthew's new song, which I believe is called, no, I shouldn't say I believe, I do know that the song is called Love Again. Love Again. This is from Matthew Hurtado. And then we'll be back to Chitty Chat for the next next hour. And we've got Ion clips from the recent Ion sessions to review and chat about, maybe get some insights from you or blow them.